Hey, Jay.
How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. How you doing? How's everybody else doing out there?
I haven't talked to you since the last episode of season one of the Cuckoo Chronicles. It's been like a year or more.
It's because I was done with you. I refused to talk to you after that. It's like, it's just too much. You were just too much. That whole time, you embarrassed us so bad. I just couldn't do it anymore.
It's okay.
But we're back. We got over it, everybody. Yeah, that's why we've been gone so long. Okay, wait. We're forgetting the whole deal. Welcome to the Coogan Chronicles podcast, folks. A podcast where two former kid actors do what, AJ?
We talk with other former kid actors.
We do. We chit-chat with them. What do we chit-chat about? What are we talking about?
Mostly growing up in the business, but we're going to change things this season a little bit.
Yeah, this season it's like it's going to be a trivia game contest. That's what it's going to be. No, it's going to be, we're just going to be chilling. We're going to loosen up. We realized last season we were really going for the jugular, right? We were really trying to like, let's talk kid actor, all things kid actor, and make some big points about it and explore some of that conversation, which we will continue to do and get everybody's opinion on certain things. But we just kind of want to hang out too, right?
We just want to talk. You just want to open it up, give some space.
Be fun. Yeah, I wanted to figure out what people are eating for breakfast these days, what they do in their spare time. Let's just chill. Let's see how people's days are going as we're recording and hang out with it. We're gonna loosen that up. We're gonna do a few other new things too. But before we do that, let's talk about like why we were gone so long. We're on YouTube. You could see us. You could see our faces now. Well, that'll be a big thing.
If you are watching this on YouTube, you know that we're on YouTube.
Do they?
You gotta let them know. Chris, what have you been up to the last year? Why haven't we spoken in over a year?
Well, besides me just having too much of you and just needing a break, besides that thing, what do we do? Just life. I mean, we were in the pandemic, the heaviest part of it all when we started this podcast, which was, so we had extra time to just chill. I'm a dad. That wasn't that helpful to always be sort of like being like, I could take my kid to the park or I could sit with my good best friend and my good buddy and record for a while. So there was little priorities were in place properly. And
now you're saying you've got your priorities right.
Okay neglecting my child. That's it. I just had to come to terms with that. That's really the truth. I don't know, life happened, right? Like life, I was working, I was gone. I was in Ireland for a good portion of time with my wife, who's, from Ireland, and she was working in Croatia for a little while, and I traveled to Hawaii for work. So we've just kind of been working and chilling, and you've been working and
nice.
It's funny. I feel rusty on the podcast because I realize it is a thing. You get more and more comfortable. You get better at it in rhythm when you're doing it real consistent. So the break, that was also part of it too, is after a little while, you're like, oh yeah, like you gotta really get back into it. So I'm glad we're jumping in. And anybody, anybody listening that's a return listener, so dope. Thank you. That's so, like, we've been, reaching out.
Yeah, I've been amazed at the people that, so I'm never on Instagram. I don't see what people post on our Instagram. I don't know what's going on. But in real life, people have been coming up to me and saying, hey, I listen to the podcast. I really enjoy it. And when are you guys doing the second season? And I have been utterly amazed at that. That people actually listen.
That's
in
awesome.
The
no,
world.
Nobody.
And they come up to us and want to chat about it. I love that.
Well, they come up to you. They don't usually, I have not yet in person to get hit up. Two things on that. One, I'm not amazed people listen. This is like the most, I mean, in the time we live in right now, this is some of the most important content out there, dude. This is like there's some wars going
oh,
on.
God.
Like this
then
is I, child actor
concerned.
Talk is up there. Yes.
Yeah, I'm quite concerned.
And then I don't know. The other thing I'm going to do is I think I'm going to start handling your Instagram. You got to give me your password. I'm going to start. It'll be on me. Don't worry. There'll be a lot of thirsty selfies. I'm going to grow that following so big.
I just apologize in advance to everybody for your abuse.
No, don't. It's going to be one of everybody's favorite profiles out there on Instagram. If you let me run yours, it'll be great. I think also it's great. It's been so nice and wonderful, the consistency, people reaching out, asking us when we're back and saying they miss us. It's so cool. It is. It's strange and awesome and really nice. So we appreciate if you're a return listener. We're excited to bring our faces to the podcast and allow people to get to see us and our guests moving forward. and what we look like as we're all hanging and chilling. You know, and so that'll be a nice little fast to this whole thing. And we are, we're going to switch some other things up, which we'll get into for a sec. I wanted to touch on a little bit of one other reason why I think me, at least at times, dragged my feet, us getting back into this. And one of them is that I just realized, like, man, like our, when we went through all these interviews and talked to some of these former kid actors, like it brought up so much more than I thought it was going to bring up in me emotionally. And it brought up so many more ideas and so much more clarity about my own life as we went on. And it was like a little heavy at times, like it, like for me, like outside of some of the fun interviews, it really just like, it left me pondering certain things that after a little while were not nearly as fun as I thought this whole endeavor should be. So I think there was a little hesitation on my part to like get back into breaking down the psyche of, you know, former kid actors and what that does to you as an adult and doing that, because it's, you know, these things are really strangely complicated and you know, and very affecting and have these deep emotional scars for the most part, it seems, on everybody. And it's a lot to like go through, and it's a lot to listen to, and a lot to like hear your own story back often in that way. So for me, I did notice that as like, as we were like, all right, how about next weekend? We'll start it up again. And sometimes I'd find a little excuse not to. And I realized like, I think that was at the core of it occasionally.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you, did you feel like after us, that first round of talking to people and opening up the conversation, putting the podcast out there, did you feel like you, that experience overall crystallized itself in a certain way for you, other than just like, that was cool?
I think I felt like that was cool for the most part. And, yeah, and also a desire to do something different, to not have the same conversation over and over with people and ask the same questions. But that's what we're doing now, which is giving it space to breathe and get into other topics and territory. And, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to some other types of guests. So people associated with the life of the child actor, whether that's a set tutor or somebody from the union or a director that works with young performers, to get another perspective. So I'm interested in that as well. But, I think I was really proud of the first season. I thought we did a great job and we had some amazing guests on.
Me too.
And they really were open and telling us their story. And so I felt really good about that chapter. And I wasn't in a rush to do more of the same in the second season, I think was part of it for me. So until we came to terms with, okay, well, what is the second season going to look like? Why are we doing it? Is it just to interview more people? Now that we've got a handle on that, and it's all a work in progress, we're going to figure this out as we go. But now that that is settled, I'm looking forward to seeing what that's all about.
Yeah, me too. I think you're right. We had to find some inspiration of how this whole conversation is going to evolve. Because you're right. We don't, you know, for anybody listening consistently, we started to realize, oh yeah, like we can't just be discussing the same types of things about child actors with former kid actors. We need to like, yeah, we need to figure out how that conversation expands, you know, because, you know, and especially when we talked to people like Mara Wilson last year and stuff that like really had such a crisp, clear way of communicating some of the denser parts of a conversation about former kid actors, the way the world sees them and all these facets of former kid actor conversation. You know, you're like, how much further do you go with that? And so, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, our goal this year too, you know, and our goal in the conversations ahead, I think, is really to get to know people as much as we can and as vulnerably as we can and in the most fun way we possibly can. And I think that actually starts with less of the specifically talking about kid actors and just talking to people and seeing it, you know, and we'll get to those big questions and figure out, I think, the highs and lows for people and the way that it's affected them or what was difficult or what was awesome. And some hopefully gets a lot of those stories that you just don't know about certain former kid actors and stuff. But at the same time, I think just like, just getting to know people. We're also too going to try to start getting multiple people in conversation with us. So maybe we can have like a 4 or 5 way conversation where we can
Be great.
Where everybody can start to, that'll be really cool. And you're right. I'm excited too to like talk to some, you know, we're going to talk to one of my former managers who I was representing me as a kid and for a long, long time. And you're going to talk to certain directors you worked with as a kid. And there's some agents that we're going to speak to and child actor acting coaches, and yeah, hopefully some SAG reps, you know. So I think it'll be interesting how this whole thing starts to play out. And yeah. And on that note, if we want to talk a little child actor thing, we should probably talk about, you and I had an interesting conversation a couple months back after I finished filming a movie with a kid actor, a current kid actor who played, you know, that I was working opposite with. I'm going to try to be as vague as possible, so I'm not trying to like throw anyone under the bus specifically about anything, because there's a few things that I experienced that I realized I started to take issue with. I don't know if I ever would have had we not endeavored into this whole conversation and made this podcast, quite honestly. And it led to some interesting conversations between you and I, which I think you'll probably be a little excited to talk about. Am I right? Mm. I feel like you had, yeah, like,
I mean, I finally am going to get
a little validation.
I mean, you're coming over to my side.
Yeah. I'm coming to the dark side.
That's what's about to happen. Yeah. No,
that's
this
it.
Is,
I'm becoming you a Sith Lord.
No, you were the Sith Lord.
No, I was not the Sith Lord. I was the Jedi. I was on the straight and narrow, and you took me to the dark side, dude.
Well, whatever. If this is the
dark side.
Here's
the argument for anyone. Okay. Well, here's the argument, which if anyone who's been listening so far to our podcast remembers, AJ and I, since we started this endeavor, we're on two opposite sides of the spectrum when it came to how we were going to broach out giving our opinion on certain parts of talking about kid actors. And what that means really specifically is I really thought our philosophy should be, I didn't want to come here and try to change things. I didn't want to like be the voice of some sort of, I don't know, oppressed or victimized part of being a kid actor and try to change some stuff and like stand up for some things and, you know, and call out things. I didn't want that responsibility. I felt like that was something that there's probably a lot of other people that are very much more qualified to do. And that scared me.
I'm in agreement, but no, I'm fine with that. No. I agree with all that. I'm with you there.
Really?
I didn't feel personally responsible for changing things, but I had specific opinions about the things that I thought were wrong and who was potentially responsible or was the most likely person to be able to lend help. I think that's where we actually disagreed. You felt like all of the emphasis was on the young performer and the parents and the industry and the set tutors and the networks and or studios and the unions had no responsibility in helping improve things. But your experience on set recently changed your opinion on that.
I think my experience on set, yes. And I think you're right on that. That's where we really differed, was, you know, and to add my opinion to that sentiment, which was, yeah, I just didn't think, I thought the way we were raised as kid actors, my whole experience was the onus was ultimately and always is ultimately on the parent to guide this whole process, and people can wipe their hands clean in so many different ways, understanding that. And you very much felt like, no, I think there's actually some stuff other people should take responsibility for, and there's probably ways to improve that. And I'm open to talking about that. Me, that scared me. So yes, I agree with that. The experience I just had working with a former kid actor, I don't know if it was the experience itself that was the illuminating thing or that has changed my mind a bunch about, that specific thing and a lot of other things. It's that I think our whole podcast and all the conversations we had, all the time we spent thinking about it, primed me to when all of a sudden I'm there experiencing, you know, watching a young kid actor perform. It primed me to suddenly see some things really clear it was the straw that broke the camel's back, where all of a sudden I was like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Everything we've been talking about, a lot of thoughts we have, it's all really concrete. I'm seeing some problems play out in person, and there are some remedies for that. And we should definitely talk about that. And that made you really happy to hear when I came to you and told you that. AJ and I were walking down the street.
But I mentioned
this stuff, and you were like howling at the moon. You were just like, oh my God, we're recording this. You're saying this to every, you're going to apologize to me in front of everybody that listens. You were really, it got you hyped up, dude.
But again, I think the thing that you haven't gotten so far as saying that all of the responsibility is not on the parents. Is that how you feel?
Yes, I think that's what it is that I realized that. So here, let me give you a little context to anybody listening. So the experiences I kind of had is I saw this kid actor. The few things that stood out to me is, one, the kid actor was great. She was great. Her mother was awesome and really lovely and stuff. But what I did notice is that you just, no one in life, you don't know what you don't know. It's just the truth. And so
I'm sure, you know, I've said this on the podcast in reference to parents of child actors, and you've gone, no, that's not.
Okay. I look, dude, this is me changing my tune. Okay. So yeah. If I'm going to parrot a few things that you said, then you're then thank you.
But I like that you parrot them in such a way where you're like, you're the first person I came up to think of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how it feels in my brain. So if it comes across like that, I'm being as authentic as I can be. What else can I say? You know, here's what I know is there were definitely, so here's the things that stood out to me is the first day I worked with this kid, you know, I'm just getting to know her. I'm trying to make her feel comfortable. And we had a lot of scenes where we're working together and it's just me and her talking. And so, you know, so I'm just like making sure this kid feels good and getting to know her. And we're about to jump into these things and did do these scenes. And we were a little improv-y and stuff on the set. It was a comedy at times. And so I just wanted her to feel good and loose, you know, and for me to get to know her. I think she was like seven years old. So she's young, you know, she's a little kid. And what I noticed is the first thing I was talking to her is I was like, hey, so, you know, what'd you do yesterday? And like, you know, where do you live? Like how long did it take you to come to set? You know, just wondering, have you been to this part of town? Ask these little questions. And what comes out of that very simple line of questioning is that she had been on another shoot the day before we started shooting and was working until like 11 p.m. and then had to drive a couple hours from this set in like Riverside County, we're in Los Angeles County, and then go to bed and then wake up really early and be at our set at like 7 a.m., you know? Mm-hmm. And instantly, it instantly brought to mind, oh, right, I remember that whole part of my experience as a kid actor where there's lots of great rules in place for if you're working on the same project, the turnaround that you, meaning the time in which you get between days when you're working. And there's lots of rules in place for how long you can work. And depending on if you film in certain locations, what your call time the next day can be, because they account for the time it takes you to travel places. There's lots of very thoughtful, great rules in place. There's not a rule in place that bridges the gap between one project and another. For any actor, really, I think, but definitely not for this kid actor and definitely not for us when we were growing up. So suddenly I was like, oh, right, there's a little interesting thing, which is like no one realized that this little girl, because she was on a shoot the day before for a totally different project, only slept for like probably 5 or 6 hours, you know, and she's got to show up here and do essentially a full day's work and a totally different environment. And there's no oversight to that. There's no oversight. There's nothing. And when you and I talked about this, you had a great idea for something that could possibly, just spitballing it off the top of your head, had a great idea. Remember what that idea was for like a potential solution to that thing? Because I do.
Yeah, I think what one of the things that would be good to see, and it's entirely possible that this is in process or maybe in place and was overlooked on this particular set, but if there was a liaison or somebody that, specifically for child performers, you had to check in with for a given production, if you're going from one production to the next production, so that you're guaranteed to get that turnaround time. And it would be oversight from the union to make sure that young performers are not missing out on their turnaround time just because they're going from one production to another. Somebody's got to be looking out for that.
Which, and here's the truth, right? Which is like, this goes back to that original difference of opinion I had, which is as of right now, I think as far as we know, and as our experience dictated, you know, right now it's up to the parent. The parent gets to say that. So if the parent said to the production, I'm sorry, she's working the day before on something, we can't come in till 11 a.m., my guess is they would figure it out, but it's totally up to the parent. And the truth is this speaks to the other part of the whole experience I had, you know, with this kid actor and her mother and the set tutors, is that this mom was really wonderful and great. So it's not to, you know, talk bad or get down on anybody for the way things were handled. But what I saw is that this parent was not going to do that. That was just not on the radar, not worried about that, you know, not that she didn't worry about her kid or if her kid was having a hard time, something might different, but like this little kid actor was great, talented, but also had the same mentality the lot do, which is like, you're like, hey, are you okay today? How you doing? You excited to be here? Yep, super excited, ready to be here. Here we go. Like, it didn't, even if she was exhausted, you know, and I saw that she was tired, and I saw, so, you know, that speaks to the other part of the whole thing, which is, you know, there is no, there's no part of this process in place that will take care of a kid despite who their parent is and how they're handling this whole situation. And that's an interesting thing that I suddenly picked up on. I was like, oh, right. Because there are in lots of other ways, you know, like why we call our podcast the Coogan Chronicles is because there's a Coogan account that puts a certain amount of money away for each kid actors so that it ensures their parents, no matter who they are, never misspend all of it, at least.
Yeah. You know? Or like, and the school aspect of set, that there are rules in place around school or the number of hours that a kid can work. There's like, all of these rules exist for a reason. If it was just left up to the parent and the production to do what was in the best mind of the kid, those rules would be bent all the time, or kids would be working longer hours, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to have these bumper rails on to be responsible. Necessary.
And there are these holes. Exactly. There are these holes where they don't exist. You know, there's big holes. And that's what I saw this time. Because another hole I saw, speaking of set tutors and education and stuff, was in this particular project, there were two different tutors that were oscillating on different days. I don't know why, just one was working other days or something. And one tutor was super dope and was great and was on it. And the other one was the worst and was literally, the joke after a while was like, you want to bring them on set, just make sure that they're not snoring, because they kept falling asleep all the time, literally. The other one was like very attentive and had like a hawk, had eyes on the kid every moment of the entire day, which was very important, which really was, because this set was a great set, really wonderful people. So it's not to speak ill of the set either, but it was a chaotic set. It was a lot moving. We were in a house. You know, there's a lot of bedrooms. There's no dressing rooms. So the dressing rooms are rooms. So people are changing in rooms and crews walking around everywhere. So it's not like, it's not the most organized by any means that I've been on. And it's not the most comfortable either, you know? And so there's a lot of room for whatever, like a kid could be around a conversation in a whole other room and you just don't know. You don't even know what that conversation is, you know? Not to speak to anything that's worse or let your imagination run wild of like the horrible things that could happen to a kid in any environment, but you know, particularly a set or something. And everybody I'm sure has heard of some stories or understands what I mean by that. But like even the smallest things, you know, like for instance, I was in conversations and sometimes you just like people are cursing and there's seven, you know, I have a daughter. It's like people curse around my kid. Like even my uncle, I'm like, yo dude, chill. Just stop dropping F-bombs, you know? Even that little slight thing it's uncontrollable. Right. And so, you know, in this, what I noticed is that like this little girl was going to get lucky or unlucky depending on which tutor was there that day. And if the tutor that was like a hawk was on it, this girl's day was flying. I wasn't worried about her for like a second. If the other person was showing up, I was like, oh, she's got free rein. She's at the mercy of whatever's going to happen today. And like, you know, so if there's an argument that breaks out, you know, which there are on many sets, she's going to be privy to it. You know, if there's a, you know, if, I don't know, if there's a safety thing and people are setting up lights and moving equipment. And if this little girl wanders over here and no one's paying attention, you know, it's like, that's the difference. Right. Mm. So there's a hole there, which is like, when I think about it and as I was watching it, I suddenly went, oh, right. Like that inconsistency of education, like you were on Even Stevens where you're on the show, where there's the same tutor that you guys get in, day out and stuff. Or if there's a substitute, I'm sure you knew them pretty well too. And there's a lot of coordination between those two teachers, you know, as they switch in and out. On something like this, like it's a small indie project, an indie movie, there's no coordination between these tutors. And it's up to the parent to say, this is what we're doing this day or not. And there's no coordination in terms of like how they're going to interact with the kid on set and how they're going to be there for them. It can be literally as different as one person's allowed to fall asleep on a couch and the other person is not going to let this kid leave their sight within 10 feet for even 30 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
And as things stand now, it's a crapshoot. That's the roll of the dice as to what you're going to get, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's a tricky thing.
So you learned a lot. You learned a lot these months. I'm proud of you.
I did. I mean, it also makes me, there's like a slight part of me is like, man, I feel bad. It's like when you just like when the abused is kind of just like, I think I deserve it. It's just the way things are. You know, it's like, that's what I realized. Like, there's a bit of that in me in terms of these things of, you know, being like, yeah, it's just up to the parent. You know, if things don't go well, you're not treated as good as you could be, you know, that's on the parent to figure out. And I'm like, no, actually there's some other things. There's some other things. And that speaks to the last thing I can say, which is, here's what else I know, right? Which is like, what's very consistent with almost anybody, probably at any point in life, is that if you're entering particularly a new job in a new environment, most people want to make themselves affable. They want to make themselves likable and be there and be part of a process, especially something like movie making that's so collaborative. So what I, you know, what you're going to get, what you can almost count on, is parents and the kid actor themselves really, you know, their first response in situations is going to be, oh, totally fine. Totally fine. Yeah. It's all good.
Right. And they shouldn't be put in a position to have to say it's totally fine. There should be hard.
Yeah.
Very. And again, things have changed a lot in the 20 something years since you and I were proper child performers. But, suffice to say that the parents and young performers should never be put in a position where they have to say it's totally fine.
Yeah,
exactly. Just better rules in place.
In place where lit and rules to the point where like it isn't even about asking a parent or kid. They don't even get it.
It's no,
like,
yeah.
There's no choice in the matter. The same way there's a Coogan account where you're like, there's no, you don't get to decide whether you choose a Coogan account and 15% of any dollar you earned gets put into account, whether you like it or not. You don't get to choose that. That's just mandatory. That exists.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And so I think you're right. I think that there are, as we've discovered, there are a lot of things that could be put in place that are just mandatory. So it doesn't matter who your parent is and what set tutor you get or whatever. You know, this is just how things work. And this benefits just the kid actor and ensures the kid actor.
You know? Yeah, because the industry is a certain way. So to think that the parent should be able to possess those skills required to make sure that the young performer thrives and is, you know, protected in the way that they should be, et cetera, is impossible. But the industry knows itself. It knows its pitfalls. It knows the possible negatives that can occur. And so it should self-regulate.
Yeah. Yeah, totally should. And there are people like you, your friend last year, that actress Allison Stoner is lobbying, I think, really hard for some sort of version of like a liaison that would be there on set that's not a set tutor and isn't a SAG rep or something.
Yeah.
Or isn't Child Protective Services, whatever other things are in place, you know, where there's someone that's there to help a kid actor in their experience, you know? And so there are people, I think, attempting to make some big changes and stuff, which are great, but it's just becoming more and more obvious to, I think, us as we've talked about this, and definitely me.
I'm happy you've come around, Chris.
Yeah, you're welcome, dude. I'm on the dark side now.
Yeah, the responsible looking out for the kids' dark side.
Yeah, it's the Sith Lord. Yeah, exactly. Taking care of, saving the children. That's our email for our podcast, is Save the Children, because it was so funny. Us and our producer were like, I was like, I don't want to save the children. AJ's like, we might need to save a couple of kids. It's like, oh, we're not saving anybody. And so this is, I guess, here we are, guys, moving forward. We're saving the children. What else, man? What else you got? What's on your mind?
I'm looking forward to going into the next season. I think, I mean, you had some learnings. We talked about it's taken us a minute to come back to the show, and here we are. So look forward to getting into it and talking to some more people and
doing it
live, or not live, but doing it on camera.
Yeah. And there's going to be some great, we've got great guests lined up. Drew Barrymore, Christian Bale is coming on. We're still
in negotiations
with DiCaprio.
People don't
think, I know. I just like I just like lying, just full on lie.
Yeah. Why?
It's a full on lie. But I don't know. Cause it just, for a second, I just like, if I was listening to something, I'd be like, Oh man. I think it's a funny moment. I'd like it if I was excited about that possibility and heard it. Sorry if I, if I burst anybody's bubble. One day, maybe, who knows? Maybe yeah. Drew Barrymore and Christian Bale will be on this podcast at some point. Until then, though, we've got some really spectacular, wonderfully charismatic people who have had these extraordinary careers and are great people. And we're excited to share their stories with you guys. And as always, right, rate us, review us, subscribe. We're going to start on YouTube. So we'll start giving out that info. And so, you know, come on YouTube, write some comments, reach out to us. I'll be handling AJ's Instagram moving forward. So just know if you're talking to him, you're talking to me. And the same deal if you're talking to us on the Instagram account. I like to send AJ screen caps of what people are saying because he refuses to get on there. Why don't you go on there? What is it? Is it just because you get caught scrolling golden retriever puppies all day long? Is that really?
Yeah,
just,
it's too much of a hole. It's just a golden retriever puppy hole.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, one other thing I totally forgot in this context, and maybe we'll cut this little part out, but probably not, because I'm also going to do the editing on this podcast, was I was like, when we tell people, like, yeah, what have we been doing for a year? I'd be like, we've been debating essentially what you and I have been doing just ourselves. Like, you've been trying to get me to use a bidet for a year, and I have been just like refusing at all costs, just being, and it reminded me a couple of days ago of that. Remember that movie Judge Dredd? You ever see Judge Dredd back in the day?
Yeah,
Sylvester Stallone and
not
Judge Dredd, Demolition Man. They always seem like one of the same. Demolition Man, Wesley Snipes, Sylvester Stallone, takes place in the future, and Rob Schneider, the guy from Deuce Bigelow, the comedian and SNL guy, he's in the movie, and he's this little obnoxious guy, and he makes fun of Sylvester Stallone because Sylvester Stallone goes to the future, and nobody uses toilet paper anymore. They use something called like the three clams. And so he goes in the bathroom and he comes out and he's like, hey, what's with the clams? Where's the toilet paper? And there's Rob Schneider going like, you don't know how to use the three clams? Look at this guy. And they just like, everyone laughs at Stallone because nobody uses toilet paper anymore. And I realized that's how I felt for a year. You being like, you don't use a bidet? You don't use a bidet? There's no bidet for this guy? Just toilet paper for this guy?
It's the story of our relationship.
You don't like this
me
joke, do you?
Sharing information. I share information with you, and then a year later, you come around and then you talk about it like you're the first person to think of it. Whether it's helping save child actors or it's a bidet, whatever.
So that's this you're saying, and what, in a year I'm going to be using a bidet, being like, guys, I just discovered this extraordinary thing. It's changed my whole life, and I will give you no credit whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. You guys hold me to it. Everyone hold me to it. If I am a bidet-touting, bidet-loving maniac in the next year, you guys can all say, I told you so, in the name of AJ. You get to scream it to the heavens. I'm excited too, man, to continue this part of our friendship as well. You know, I like to get a little sappy on you, but it's been an awesome thing to share our friendship and share how we know each other in context of this conversation.
Oh yeah. And, I was thinking, how long have we been friends now? Is it 20? It's over 20 years, 22 years,
over 20 years,
23 years, something like that.
At least. Yeah.
My point is this though. My point is this though. Are we ever going to do like a friendiversary where we have a big.
Did you just invent a holiday? Bro, did you just invent a holiday? Did we just become best friends? That's an amazing, a friendsiversary. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a wedding anniversary, but just to say we're friends still.
Well, it's been 20, it will be 25 years. It's pretty soon.
If this isn't a reality show in the next couple of years, then reality's dead, you know, because that's a great idea. That's just, you just get groups of friends. People are like, we've known each other 45 years. That'd be like the greatest reality TV you could ever watch. Yeah, just people going to party and then getting real drunk and emotional and being like, I love you, man. I love you. That's great. Yeah, let's have a friendsiversary. How's that sound? That sounds great, AJ. We'll figure something out. Okay. What do you want to do? You want to go to Bali or something? Where are we gonna celebrate?
I guess so. If Andrew was included in the friendiversary.
Yeah, we'll have Andrew McFarlane out in the friendsiversary. We'll go to Bali. Or we'll get Andrew. No, everyone has to be on equal plane in terms of going someplace else. And someplace that makes them uncomfortable. We all got to go to like Antarctica or something. We got to go survive in the snow somewhere. That's intense. In an igloo. We all got to chill in an igloo. That's our friendsiversary. No?
I mean, if that's your idea.
Wherever it is.
Do we want to enjoy it?
100%. Yeah. We got to have bidets. Let's figure out some Friendsiversary. That'd be interesting. You know what will be interesting one day, I hope, in the future too, as it relates to this podcast, is that I hope that one day we have a raging party with all the former Kid actors that we have talked to.
Awesome. That's where we just I get would to love that.
That's what we're, me too. So that's definitely, that's been on the agenda in the back of my mind since like day one. I was like, that's
well, now that we're starting to reach out we can people, kind like, of see the end of the pandemic a little bit, that would be, it's actually a possibility at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll just like, it'll be a giant warehouse party and all the former Kid actors will show up. It'll be on. Yeah. That'd cool. be wild. I think a lot of people would want to go to that. Maybe even Christian Bale and Drew Barrymore. We'll see, guys. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Who knows? What else, man? Thank you. Thank you. Besides a thank you. What else we got?
That's it. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Thanks guys for listening to us. Thanks for watching us. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're so excited for this conversation to continue and get restarted. So we so appreciate you hanging with us. If you have, if you're still with us and you were listening last time we were releasing podcasts, we hope you enjoy all this moving forward. And that's it, man. Right?
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Till episode two.
Till episode two. Talk to you guys soon.